It's
an
odd one.
Hey, oddballs. I'm your host, Jensen, and welcome to episode 69. It's episode 69, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Anyhow, today we're going to learn about a mythical creature, so here we go. It's
lesson time.
Today's mythical creature lesson is the werewolf. Across cultures, the werewolf represents a total change in consciousness, balancing your instincts, intuition, and logic. If you've been feeling out of control or holding back intense emotions, the werewolf gives you a sign. It's time to let those emotions surface and explore how you feel. Don't fear the change, because a fresh new start is coming your way. Well, that is certainly not what I thought a werewolf was going to be, but I hope you learned something, because obviously I learned something too. And we're just going to jump into stories, because I'm riding my coffee high and I'm going to try not to ramble. So here we go.
This comes from Hippie Froggy on Reddit.
When I was 11 years old, my dad took my brother and I to a party. He apparently knew the people, but my brother and I didn't. They had just moved into this house, and that was what the party was for. After about an hour, a man came up to the group of kids and me and asked us to go to his house to grab some more firewood because we were running out. Us, all being trusting kids, said, okay, and ran to have fun. I remember feeling uneasy, but I pushed the feeling aside and kept moving onward until I reached the house. Each person grabbed 2 pieces of wood, but I only grabbed 1 because I felt that I was too small to carry 2 pieces. Everyone got mad at me and said it was only fair, so I went back for another piece. I made them pinky promise to not leave me, but when I came back out, they were all gone. Realizing I was alone, I started to panic because I didn't know my way back. I had never been here before. I started to scope out the area, thinking someone had to stay behind with me. But no one was there. I was about to give up and aimlessly walk around looking for my way home, when suddenly I saw a girl standing by the front door. She had big curly red hair, big blue eyes, red little freckles, and a white nightgown. And she wore nothing on her feet. She looked like one of the girls in the group, so I called out to her, but she just stood there silently, staring off blankly. The more I stared at her, the more her body seemed to fall apart. Her hair seemed missing in certain areas. She was skin and bones thin. She had twigs and leaves in her hair, and her skin was pale and soaked. I feared she was getting too cold, so I shouted to her over and over again. She ignored me. Finally, I took a step toward her, and she smiled. Her eyes went jet black and empty. She turned around and ran inside laughing. I followed her and searched the whole house for half an hour. When I came back out, everyone had come back for me, asking where I was. I was panicked, and I told them about this injured girl that needed help. They just looked at me confused, they assured me that there was no girl before laughing at me, like I was bonkers. I kept telling them about it, and they were just as confused as I was. We went back to the party and acted like nothing happened. But I had this bad feeling. So I went to the mom at the party and told her the whole story. And she asked me about the man that sent us for more wood because they never needed more in the first place. I gave her the description and she said that the man had never been to the party. She didn't know who I was talking about. She gathered all of us who told the same story about the same man. And she said she didn't know who he was. But she was drunk and didn't seem too worried. So she just told us to be safe. Oh my God. Oh my God. No. I hate it. I had so many chills reading this one. My brain went in so many different directions. It was really hard to keep it together through this story. First thought, the man who doesn't exist and this little girl, did he kill her in this house? And now it's just like living on repeat. Okay. First thought, that's just the short version. Second thought, the girl's eyes turn jet black. So is she actually like bad? Like, is she bad? And she was trying to like lure the kids in? And was this house an actual abandoned house? Or did you just walk into someone's random house if this guy didn't exist? Oh, I hate everything about this. So this brings up like true crime stuff to me. And I used to like really like true crime. And the older I get, I think the more I hate it because my brain just wraps around how fucking terrifying that is. And so it just like kind of makes me physically ill. And I know that sounds like a little baby bitch thing, but I don't care. I don't really love it. This is like a whole other anxiety level for me. It's terrifying. I mean, it's paranormal, but like true crimey. It's weird. I don't like it. Please let me know what you think about it. I know I'm freaking out and a lot of you are probably like, shut the hell up, bitch. Like, I'm sorry. I'll take a deep breath. This one actually really gives me like some anxiety. So I'm going to move on to the next story before I have like a panic attack or something.
This comes from an anonymous writer.
This is my dad's story from the late 1970s. But I will write it as if I am him. I have heard the story so many times, it's easier just to transcribe it from memory instead of retelling it, if that makes sense. I worked for a building maintenance company. HVAC, plumbing, electrical, etc. We had a customer with a problem building in downtown Denver that had chronic intermittent issues. I'm pretty sure the building goes by the name the XYZ building, but he can't remember the name now, only that it was right across from the Denver Mint and next to a hotel. We had been called out to this building 3 days in a row that week and couldn't make a repair because it was always fine when we were there. This customer was really putting pressure on my boss that we had to fix whatever the problem was immediately. And the boss was mad. He couldn't bill anything out yet. So he decided the three of us who ran the unproductive service calls there that week needed to spend the night there to figure it out. Great. The building engineer was always a crazy son of a bitch. The man had his way of fixing things and we had ours. He used very crude materials and had horrible workmanship on his fixes. We fixed things the proper way so that everything was up to code. Needless to say, it was usually his repairs that failed. For example, I was called out once to fix an ice machine. I found it was rigged with rubber bands and paper clips. when the thermistor needed replaced. The building manager asked me if I had found the problem. So I showed him how I found the machine and explained how it should have been fixed. The building engineer also showed up yelling. I told them it wouldn't work. They're always doing these shoddy repairs. They should be fired. When we got to the building for our overnight adventure, a maintenance worker told us this engineer had died at his desk in the mechanical room only a few days before. We were a little relieved to hear we wouldn't have to deal with the bastard. We got to the mechanical room, set up our cots to prepare for the night, and double-checked that we brought in all of our tools with us, because we were going to be locked in for the night. We were sitting there, joking around about what we expected to find wrong with the building, and one of the guys noticed the building's engineer's sweater was still in its usual place over the back of his chair. The guys working with me absolutely hated him and threw the sweater on the ground and stomped on it because the building engineer was always such a jerk. Shortly after that, we were making rounds, and all of the electrical in the building went out. Yet, against all logic, we noticed the elevators were somehow in use. We could tell the elevator was a couple of floors above us by looking at the elevator indicator. When the doors opened, we heard the elevator settle a bit, like a significant weight just got in the elevator. It went down a floor, still a floor above us, and we heard the doors open. And it sounded like a single person got off the elevator, walked a few paces, and got back in the elevator. Our floor was next, and we assumed some people up to no good ended up getting locked in the building with us. So we ran back to the mechanical room so we could grab something to defend ourselves. I grabbed my .22 that I always kept in my tool bag, and the other two guys with me grabbed knives or big wrenches, not sure which. On our way back to the spot by the elevators, pipes just started bursting everywhere. I ran to find the main shutoff valve, and after I turned it off, I was back at the spot where we stood before the pipes burst. I looked around for the broken pipes. We found two broken pipes down two different corridors. Shortly after I finished welding mine, the plumber yelled, "Damn it, Jim! I told you to stop messing around." Then I saw the guy running towards me, pale as a ghost. He asked if I had just grabbed his leg when he was on the ladder. I had not. Nor had the other guy that was with us. The welder said that he figured that out when he turned around after welding the pipe where it was broken. He waved his torch and didn't see anyone else in the corridor with him. That was enough for the two guys who were working with me. They unlocked the doors and left. They were nephews of my boss, so they could do things like that and not worry about losing their jobs. I was not related to the boss and had a family to support, so I locked the doors behind them again and went back to the mechanical room to get some rest, if possible. As I laid on my cot with my .22, I heard the elevators going up and down all night long, but way faster than normal elevator speed. I could hear what sounded like people running on the floor above me. I planned to just stay in the mechanical room, hidden in the basement, until the morning when the manager came in. Then I could go home. I noticed it felt a little chilly in the mechanical room, so I checked out the boiler. Definitely cold. The pilot light was out. I didn't smell a bunch of gas, so I just struck a match to relight it. The entire boiler exploded. I ended up with severe burns on my face and arms. I never went to that building again. Now, here's my addition to the story. We lived in Colorado Springs at the time. We knew my dad was working overnight in Denver and expected to see him first thing in the morning. His boss brought him home the next afternoon, and both of his arms and face were covered in white bandages. That morning, I drew a picture that I said was of my dad, with white, fluffy arms. I love a good haunted building story, but this one sounds like a nightmare. It's so scary because, first of all, like, the elevator going up and down, and you hear somebody get off on the floor above you and walk around and get back in the elevator and then start to go back down to your floor. And then all of a sudden all the pipes bursting. Oh my God, that's terrifying. I mean, just picture it. It's dark and you're anticipating somebody coming off of an elevator when all of a sudden all the pipes burst. Talk about a jump scare. That's some scary shit right there. But then also, hi, you little baby bitches, leaving while this person's dad stays to support his family. Come on. Come on. But then the ending was a twist because this person drew a picture that morning before their dad even got home with their dad having white fluffy arms, indicating that their dad was covered in bandages. So how did this person know that their dad had bandages? That's a whole other thing too. So is the building just haunted prior to the guy dying? Or is the guy that died haunting the building? Or is it a little bit of both? I don't know. I would love to know your thoughts. But anyhow, if you have a story like either story today, let me know. Or just any paranormal story in general, let me know. And I hope you enjoy today's episode. And well, it's an odd world after all.
Oddballs. Go follow us on It's an Odd World After All podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Also, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you have a story you would like to share, email us at itsanoddworldafterall@gmail.com or message us on one of our social platforms. Don't forget to share us with your family and friends. And check out our website, itsanoddworldafterall.com.